If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
On yesterday's episode, I talked about some of the misconceptions that a lot of Bulls fans have, not only about the state of the team, but also kind of the money structure and things that are going around those teams. On today's episode, I want to talk about that a little bit further. Why, if the Bulls really do believe in Noah Essigé and Modest Bouzelis being their forward combination of the future, the investment of Josh Giddey and Kobe White makes even more sense. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Plus, Clutch Points lists Nikola Vucevic and Patrick Williams as the Bulls' biggest trade candidates heading into the season. Do I agree with that? Do I disagree with it? We're going to talk about that. All that, plus dive into the mailbag right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Derek Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. And I want to start off talking about this, right? And while this is kind of piggybacking off of yesterday's conversation to open the mailbag, I want to more so focus on it's to focus on Noah Essigé and Modest Bouzelis. I specifically did not mention them a lot in yesterday's episode and focus more on some of the misconceptions around the current team and contracts and stuff that are coming up. But one of the things that, you know, the investment in Modest Bouzelis and Noah Essigé are legitimate, especially with Modest Bouzelis. Noah, we got to see how the Bulls are going to round him out, things like that. But one of the things that, you know, we've heard since Summer League happened is that the Bulls specifically told Billy Donovan III that they wanted to see Modest Bouzelis have more on-ball creative opportunities, right? And that to me shows that the Bulls are not only investing in Modest in the development, but they're also seeing what he could be. Right now, how Modest responds to that and how he develops to that over time is going to be important. How many of those opportunities he's going to get in the regular season, that remains to be seen as well when it comes down to it. But I think this, right, when you look at what the Bulls had, this comparison is not to the caliber of player at all. It's more to say that when you have your pivot point. So keep in mind there, right? Like when the Bulls had Jordan and Pippen, right? And look at any two-man duo over the course of league history, right? But I'm a Bulls fan. I'm gonna use Jordan and Pip, right? Like, this is or Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah, right? Like we can use those two guys as well, even though it was a much shorter sample size because of Derrick Rose's injury. When you have the two players that in tandem work together well and play together well, it makes it easier in how you fit things around those players, right? And the Bulls should very much so be hopeful that they have that in Noah Essigé and Modest Bouzelis. I've talked a lot about how Bulls fans see Modest as who he could ultimately become more so than who he is now. And so this is not saying in the right now. This is saying that if these guys develop right, and I do think that Modest, for sure, has star-level talent. Now, the question is, well, star-level potential. Question is, how much of that potential he's going to maximize on? And that's what's going to be the fun part to watch about this as it goes on for it. If Modest does develop into that player, if Noah Essigé, who, from what we've heard, has the same mentality as Modest Bouzelis, he's very raw. And I think, you know, if Noah, at the most, I don't know how much of a hub he's going to be, but I look at Noah and say he's a guy that could be your most important defender on your team. Rim protection, the switchability that he has, the ability to get out in transition, all those type of things that Noah has. And we've already heard that Noah has more dribbling capability than what I think people are giving him credit for. We got to see how he's going to develop that at the NBA level. But if you hit on these two guys, and these two guys end up being, you know, and for lack of a better word, your Franz, your Paolo, your whatever, name your duo, right? Especially forward duo. I don't go to Tatum and Jaylen Brown. We'll end up seeing if like whatever happens there. But if those two guys, having two guys that you can clearly see and young guys too, getting those guys early on rookie scale deals, it provides more flexibility. Now, the Bulls, much like I say with Bulls fans, cannot, and I repeat, they cannot act as if or think that they are already that before it's proven. You have to allow them to prove it, and therefore it extends that window, right? When I talked on yesterday's episode, I talked about the fact that the Bulls are going the route that is going to take longer, and thus it's going to be more frustrating for fans unless we're seeing that consistent progression as a team, right? And so you're talking about 2, 3, maybe even 4 years away before you're really able to say, all right, bet, these are the pieces that we are absolutely building the structure of this team around. And we'll see if that ends up being the case, right? And again, but when I talk about Noah, I'm not necessarily saying that Noah's going to turn into a star, but I'm saying that the impact that he has on the team is going to be so important to what we can build off of. Modest has the potential to be the foundation of the best player on the team. He has the potential of that. Long way to go before we can say that for sure. Noah, if nothing else, has the potential of being the Bulls' best defender, thus making the defense easier on everybody else around you, right? And if those two players end up hitting on that, that gives you two pivot points offensively and defensively that you can then fill out the rest of the team around. And that is the goal of what most teams want, the balance there, right? And that's not to say that Modest can't take a step defensively as well. Noah can't be a solid player offensively. That's not to say that, but based off what we know about their raw talent right now, Noah defensively, Modest offensively. And if you have those two guys and they round out their games and develop those aspects of it to where you can structure a team around that, that's then a foundation, right? And so when you hear things, and to lead this back into the other topic, when you hear people say things like, oh, why are we paying Kobe? Why are we going to pay Josh Giddey? Like, because you have that runway now with those guys, right? And even if Modest gets the max, unless he qualifies for a supermax, which means he's making all-star teams or winning an MVP between now and the next 3 years, right? But, you know, when you're preparing for that, that gives you more flexibility in the structure that you have around those guys. Now, what's one of the things I talked about? You want players to develop in structure. You want those players to develop in having players around them that are good players, right? We talk about how good they are, but good players, because you want them developing in that. It allows a pivot point. And I think that's the thing that you're going to around that. And so we shall see, right? We shall see what all comes down to that. But these are still two of the guys that a lot of the Bulls' potential, the future, this new direction that we've gone in and playing more fast, getting out in transition, those type of things. We have two players that fit that mold, both offensively and defensively. And the question now is the development part of it. And that's the part that scares a lot of Bulls fans, is that is AK, is Billy Donovan, is this franchise overall going to be able to invest the right amount of work and assets and everything into developing these guys correctly? And we can't say that for sure now. They have to show and prove that, right? So it's just something that I when you are going the more long-term route, and that's what the Bulls are doing now. They're not going to make the flash in the pan moves that all of a sudden make us a clear fire top six seed or whatever else. They are going to do this thing more organically. And now you have to, it takes more patience and it takes more intention. And I think that we're seeing that intention with Modest. Is it going to be there with Noah? Let's see, right? And we shall see how that ends up working out. And the Bulls still, that does still not mean that they have to get these next, every first round pick that they take from now into perpetuity until we're actually a consistent player. They got to get those right. And we'll see if the Bulls can do that. But talking about trade chips, Clutch Points had an article calling Nikola Vucevic and Patrick Williams the Bulls' biggest trade candidates next season, saying this: the Bulls' roster construction remains a balancing act between competing now and building for the future. Vucevic and Williams represent two different kinds of trade asset. One is a proven veteran who can help a contender immediately. The other is a young player who might still pop in the right situation. Trading Vucevic this season could yield draft capital or a young piece that fits Chicago's future core. Moving Williams might not bring a haul, but it could unclog rotations and give both him and the team a fresh start. Either way, making these moves would be a signal that Chicago is finally choosing a direction instead of hoping mediocrity magically turns into contention. Now, you know, I've already refuted the direction thing. It is what it is there. But I do like that, you know, a lot of people talk about trading P. Will as if it's like meant to get you something. You're not getting anything back. I love the fact that they framed it around you'd be trading P. Will to unclog some of your rotation, which the Bulls do have a clog in the forward rotation. We've talked a lot about it. between Kevin Huerter, who's going to play mainly small forward, Isaac Okoro, who's going to play guard and forward, maybe even both forward spots, Patrick Williams, Julian Phillips, Dalen Terry. We already know Modest is in the rotation, so I'm not naming Modest because he's firmly in the rotation. Noah Essengay as well, trying to get minutes. So you do have clog there. And if you are able to move P. Will, is the value is not only getting off that money potentially, but also unclogging that. Now, in reality, it's going to be very difficult for the Chicago Bulls to move Patrick Williams. Extremely difficult for them to move Patrick Williams. I've said that before. Vooch is, and I do think, heading towards the trade deadline and how they said that he can help a contender immediately. Again, it depends on the situation and the defense that you have around Nikola Vucevic. But I do think that Vooch is a player that is a veteran that, you know, is 18 and 11. He's going to get that for you regardless of whatever the situation is. Even if he's not playing the role that's best suited to him, he's going to get you 18 and 11. And I think that's part that you have to look in that. So, you know, we shall see what happens when it comes down to that. And ultimately, like, I think when you look at the Bulls, it's just, I don't know if you're going to move both these guys. Vooch, I do think, come the trade deadline, that a team that needs a big, that's preparing for a playoff run, may pivot and bring in Nikola Vucevic. I really do think that. P. Will, I think we're a couple of years away. And the reason why I say that, every year that comes off P. Will's books, it makes it easier to move him, right? Already the first year is off that five-year deal. We're going to the second year of that deal, right? So, you know, we'll see if P. Will can get moved. It depends, I think, also how many flashes he shows. Again, I don't think the Bulls should be playing him minutes just to try to market him. Play him minutes if he's helping you win, and thus, you know, that makes the most sense. But we'll see. I get a lot of people are going to list P. Will and Vooch as the Bulls' biggest trade candidates because of the place where the roster is going and the fact that they don't fit that mold, right? Vooch has done the best he can to fit in and still been productive. P. Will is just every time the Bulls add more forwards, it makes it harder and harder for P. Will. And rightfully so. P. Will got to wake the fuck up if he wants to play here. And I guess we'll see if he can get that done. We shall see. But all right, let's move off of that. Let's get into the voicemails for today. This first one, this one's from Rob.
Hey, it's Big Rob. Many blessings to you. I was just thinking of this, and I was looking at one of these articles when they were talking about how NBA executives is prioritizing depth after, I mean, let's be honest, every NBA team wins a championship. Everybody does like a copycat league, from the Pistons having two guards, Rockets have a three-guard formation, to all you need a big three, and patterns change consistently. It's just like fashion. But I wanted to know from you two important questions. One, when you see them prioritizing depth, do you think the Bulls have the proper depth at each position? It may not be perfect, but I'm saying, but at least to compete in a playoff term, or do you feel like it's still maybe a couple years away and a couple more pieces away from developing into, I want to say, a top six, you know, pick, roster spot, or tongue-tied, top six in the playoff position? Which leads to the second question. We talk about depth, but what player do you think we're not talking about enough that actually has a true opportunity to showcase their talent? Because we talked about Dalen Terry on certain occasions. I know IO is always going to be there. We were happy about Trey Jones. We were happy about how Zach Collins plays a certain role. But who is it that we're not really talking about that we should be keeping an eye on and saying, hey, you know what? Going into training camp, it could really show out. That's already on the roster. Or do you believe that we have to wait maybe another year or two before we truly have someone we can say, hey, they're a legitimate threat coming off the bench? They don't have to be a starter, but I just think having depth is such an essential part of any team. And I just wanted your two cents on what you feel about it. I appreciate you taking the time. God bless. Peace.
It's way too early to say that we have the depth to compete in a playoff series, in my opinion, right? Especially in the top six, which you mentioned. I do think it's a lot due to having unproven players, which you have a lot here. Like, we don't know who Dalen is. We don't know exactly what Julian is yet. And, you know, these guys are still proving that they can be quality NBA depth. I do think Isaac Okoro, really good depth there. I think at the least, you know that he's a good depth piece. Patrick Williams, He can be, you know, with the defense and shooting, but then again, it's wildly inconsistent. So the Bulls have a lot that they need to prove there. Now, we do have some proven depth. Trey Jones, really good. I think our guard depth overall, really good. I think we have the best center depth that we've had under Billy Donovan ever, right? Io and Trey, legit threats off the bench in what they do because they're able to play in their role and they're able to play it well, right? But I think if you're looking for a player that you're saying, like, you come off the bench and change the tide every single game, we don't necessarily have a proven guy that can do that yet. So we have a lot before this team can prove that. And maybe that happens over the course of the season. Maybe that is forged over through the battles.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Of this season and having the roles this season, but I can't say that yet. We haven't even been a playoff team, Rob, so it's hard for me to say that we have playoff depth that can play well in a playoff series. We have to prove that over the season. I do think the Bulls have done a solid job in improving the depth overall on this roster, but what's the caliber of that depth? We have depth. What's the caliber of that depth? That's going to have to be proven over the course of the season, and I can't wait to see. We got players that I'm excited to see play basketball going into that bench. That's more than what we're able to say over the last couple of years. We just got to see how it's going to round out, how it's going to develop, and let the story of the season be the story of the season, brother. All right, let's get into the next one, man. This one's from TJ.
Yo, what up, hey? This is TJ from the low end. I know it's been a minute, but, you know, I had to come back from the dead and shit. But I had a concern. Not even a concern. It was a question. But I've been noticing that a lot of people really been, you know, questioning David Terry or Julian Phillips' development. No problem. And that kind of just got me wondering, what would it take? Like, what would they have to show next season for them to be able to be, like, shooting, to be on the roster after the summer of 2026? What is it that Acme would have to see from them? Granted, I know that you're not them, so just let's just say you in their shoes for the moment. What would you want to see from De La Cherry and Julian Phillips so then you will be comfortable bringing them back as, like, maybe not, like, 4 pieces, but at the very least rotational players for the Chicago Bulls? What do they have to show, and how would you see them being able to accomplish that? Because from my looking, because of how deep the forward position is, I think it will either have to be, well, maybe this might be fortunate, but P. Will might have to be, like, hot doodle, like, he has to be trash, and he just, like, get completely taken out the rotation. Or, unfortunately, somebody might have to get injured for them to really get the opportunity to shine. Unless they show, like, the ability to play one of the guard positions or potentially, because we already know that if it was up to Billy Donovan, he'll be running 5 guards out there. Potentially one of them can show the ability to play a small ball 5. But that's, like, the only – those are, like, the only ways I could truly see them being able to crack that rotation with the additions of Isaac Okoro and Io coming back. We still got Kevin Herter and Modest, Noah. That forward position is looking real deep. But, yeah, man, let me hear your thoughts. C-Red Nation, y'all. Stay blessed. Peace.
Dalen and Julian have a lot to prove, right? Dalen has to prove that he's more than just energy which he did start showing in flashes last season. There were times where Dalen Terry noticed he had a size mismatch and took players off the dribble to get to the rim. Now, he didn't always draw the foul the right way or always finish, but that recognition is really good for Dalen. He's going to have to do that because Dalen can play three positions, point guard, shooting guard, small forward. He's going to have an opportunity like in different lineups and matchups. He can be truly a Swiss Army knife off the bench. Will he, though? And that's one of the biggest questions with Dalen is we just don't know how or what he's going to do consistently. And that's the thing that's a big question with Dalen. So refinement of that thing to just even prove if he can be a bench player consistently. That's one of the big things if Dalen's going to be in this rotation. Because I do think his passing in transition, really good. Passing in the half court, not as good, right? But passing in transition, really good. He's a solid rebounder per the minutes that he plays as well, even though he's away from the ball more. Also, those are two things that can get him on the court. Defense, the ability to rebound, the ability to pass in transition. Those are skills that can get him on the court, right? Now, what he adds to that offensively and things like that, shooting-wise, which you saw Dalen have hot game shooting, it's just we've seen a little bit of everything with Dalen. The question is, how much of that can he bring together? And this is really his last opportunity to do it. He goes into restricted free agency next year. So how much of that can he show consistently this year? That's going to be a big part. For Julian, I think Julian is going to have to hang his hat on, of course, defense, corner three-point shooting. There's going to be a lot of open corner threes for this team with Kobe and Josh Giddey doing a lot of the creation in the half court especially. If he can hit that corner three at a really, really good rate and play really good defense, that role is going to be there for Julian. Now, if he also plays in transition, we know he's shown flashes of a shot blocker, okay rebounder at times too. Like if he can start at much like with Dalen, we've seen a little bit of things, right? And we've seen more consistency from Julian than Dalen for sure. But how consistent he can be in that in this year is going to be a really big point. But both are at risk of not being in the rotation. So they're going to have to come in and training camp, locked in, focus, and make Billy Donovan realize that he has to play them in that rotation for the Bulls' best chance to win. And we'll see if they can do that. All right, let's get into the next one, man. This one's from Korn.
What's the good word, King Drip? It's your brother, Korn, man. Let's get right into it, man. Hey, man. Josh Giddey, right? Come and step up, sir. We need to have a conversation. First of all, shout out to you, man. Being 15, this ain't about the contracts and all that stuff, man. Let me get that, man. I don't care who have more leverage and if, you know, Acme taking too long, man. Let them do business. Business will be settled. He will re-sign with the Bulls. I'm not worried about him getting traded to Golden State, any of that bullshit. I don't care. I'm here to talk about him and the improvement I would love to see by him next year. See, because I already know what he can do. See, now, like you said it best. What I want to see Josh Giddey become better in is to be a better defender. Plain and simple. Better on-ball defender. Just better all around. He's not so bad as everybody thinks he is, you know? Me just peeping him and all that. But if to get him at top 10 because – you know, hey, man, I believe the kid can average shit, 18, 10 assists in his sleep. So I'm not worried about his scoring, his passing ability, per se. What I'm going to be looking at is his defensive ability and see how he step up in that way. You know, see if the IQ go up in that way. That's what I'm looking forward to in the development of Josh Giddey. Will he develop defensively? We'll see. I got hope that he will, and I believe that he will. I believe that he's on the grind to be so. And I believe that he will be a top 10 point guard at the end of the year. I am calling it now. I'm saying it right now. And it won't be because he's averaging 22 and 10. If he does, holy shit, and hallelujah to us, right? But what I do want to see is him to be better defensively, especially on ball. You know, if you get left out there on the island, we want to be able to trust, you know, and not be too panicky, too scared if you left out there on the island with whoever, with an SGA or Bronson, or he getting the switch, and then, you know, he. But again, with Giddy, I just want to see him get better defensively. That's about it. Hey, man, appreciate you always, man. Much love, man. AC Red Nation, man. Hey, we got us one in Giddy. We got us one in that kid, man. You know, I can't wait to see how he develops defensively this year, because I already believe in him offensively. All right, King Drip. Blessings, King.
Will Giddy develop more defensively? We did see a renewed focus from Giddy defensively towards the end of last season. Now, was that just because, and I'm just asking this in a fair question, was it just because he was also riding a hot offense? Like, we've seen it before. Players, they get hot offensively, and all of a sudden they're more engaged on both sides. We know that Josh Giddey's never going to be a lockdown defender. He said it, right? But I do think that the effort that he gives, if he can give that consistently, we've already seen him grow as a defender in the mid-range. We've seen him grow as a defender in the paint. That perimeter defense is really the thing. It's not even necessarily on ball. It's just in the perimeter, pick and roll defense, those type of things. And if he does that, great. But I also think this, like, I get it that the focus of Giddy is like how much he can grow defensively, because he is an offensive hub. His ability to pass, his ability to rebound, you know, even if he's not scoring at a high level, which I think even if Josh Giddy can give you 16 points consistently, that's pretty good, because Josh Giddy isn't a scorer. He can score, but he's not a scorer, right? If you can step up and can give better consistent effort on the defensive side of the ball, I've said this many times, I think you can be a solid defender just based off effort. If you want to be a lockdown or one of the better defenders, that comes where skill and all that type of thing comes into a place. But just by giving that consistent effort, you can be a really good defender in this league. And we got to see if Josh Giddey can make that step. But I don't know if that's going to be the focus next year, but we shall see. All right, let's get into this last voicemail for today, man. This one's from Vikram.
What's up, Hayes? It's Vikram. So I just want to come here, talk a little bit more about something that I didn't fully process in my head. But, like, so when I was watching Summer League and Modis was, like, going at players, I was like, there's something different, you know, about how he's creating. There's that little, like, you know, like the oomph. But, like, I couldn't, like, put, like, my finger on what it was. And someone put it the best. Like, I don't remember. I saw it somewhere online. He's playing like he wants to initiate a lot more contact. And he's using his body to get to the rim. We saw, like you know that 1v1 with Cooper Flagg and Modest. I'm sure, like, everyone on this channel knows that 1v1. And if you saw the difference in how Cooper and Modest were playing, Cooper was playing like he was going at you, you know? He was going at Modest. Modest was playing with that finesse, that handle that he really, like, he has in his bag. But when I watched that Summer League game, he was going at players, obviously not in the exact same way Cooper was, but, like, he was using that physicality on guys like Philip Wheeler and a couple other players. And I just remember, like, him, when he drives, he was, like, looking for the contact, looking to, like, get in the player, you know? And that is a really interesting development in this game. And I think that's going to actually play, like, a big role in how he gets a lot of his buckets this year. I think since he's put on that weight and he's shown in Summer League that he's going at a player physically, it's really going to help develop his game. And I think that's going to open up whenever he takes that big scoring leap from, like, what, like the 10 points a game to, like, 18 or, like, 17, 18 points, it's going to be because his offensive creation is letting, like, is getting, like, adding the finesse with his handle to, like, that by initiating that contact, if you know what I mean. So, yeah, just let me know what you think about that. And, yeah.
Like I said earlier, when we found out that the Bulls basically told Billy Donovan III they want to make sure that Modest gets some opportunities to create more on ball, that's everything that I need to know about this team really investing and having a vision for what Modest Bouzelis can be. And I don't know how many of those opportunities are going to be there for him in the actual NBA games once the regular season's going on. So the Summer League was a really good opportunity for him to get that. I also think, like you pointed out, a lot of him attacking. Attacking in summer league is very different than attacking in the NBA, but it is good to know that that is there, right? That is there part of his mentality, which we really already known. So it, with Modest, it's really about putting it all together. And once he does that, man, does he have the so much potential to be a really good player in this league, but it is just potential right now. He's going to have to work, which him putting in the work, I'm not worried about. It's also about how he's used by this coaching staff. And I know my boy Winton's already typing, but do you really trust Billy Donovan? Yeah, you know, it is what it is. That's fair. And so we just got to see how that's going to grow and develop. And so with Modest, the question isn't if, well, it's, I guess it still is. Like, we know that he has the mindset to develop. The question is like, how much of that is going to turn into realized skill for Modest Bouzelis? And we shall see, my friend. We shall see. But that's my time for today, guys, man. Make sure you guys are following us at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullscentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. And that's thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.